All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 for the message this morning. We had a wonderful sword conference, National Sword of the Lord conference. The crowds were unbelievable. I was, Dr. Smith and I both were surprised at the big turnout that we had. All of the display tables were taken in the gymnasium, and just a great spirit all week long, and we had a great time. And I appreciate all of you that prayed for me as I preached on Wednesday night, and I hope you were able to see the service and get on the live stream. There were a lot of people cramming onto that. To that site, and I hope it didn't disrupt or anything. I had a couple people tell me that they saw it, and a couple people told me that they couldn't find it. And that's technology. You know, it's great when it works, right? Would you agree to that? It's great when it works, but it doesn't always work. And but anyway, we had a great conference, and I just thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to preach in it. It's good to be back in Walkertown again, and they invited us to come back again next year. So, Lord willing, if the rapture doesn't happen, we will be back in Walkertown next year for the conference as well. Dr. Smith is going to come and be with us for a Sunday. He's going to come, I think it's third Sunday in August, maybe, third. It's coming, and he'll be here, and we'll announce it so you'll know what Sunday it is, but he'll be here with us on that Sunday. And of course, the Orioles play a couple of home games just prior and just after he's going to be here. But that has nothing to do with it, of course. We're going to catch a couple of games when he comes in. So I said, well, since you're going to be here, why don't you just preach for us on that Sunday? And so he graciously agreed to do that. So he'll be here a couple of weeks. Anyway, let's begin reading, please, in verse 6 of this chapter, verse 6, and if you follow along, please, as I read the scripture. In verse 6, the Bible says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Paul was in jail when he wrote this. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of our gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us." Notice that. Who hath. Hath, past tense. In other words, there was a day when the Apostle Paul could look back in his life and say that was the day I got saved. All right? I can do that. I can say to you that it was October, and I looked it up one time to see what that Sunday was, and I think it was the 25th, if I remember right. October the 25th in 1970 that I got saved. So I can stand here right now and look back and tell you that I was past tense, I have been past tense saved. I was saved on October 25th, 1970. All right, nod your heads. You see that? All right, let's read on. "Who hath," past tense, "saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, do you know what immortality is? Huh? Somebody give me just a quick, what is immortality? You never die. All right, you say, well, we're going to die physically. Yes, he's not talking about physical death here. That's a given. He's talking about spiritual death here. And the Lord Jesus came to give all of us immortality. Amen. We will never die and appear in the flames of hell for all of eternity if we're saved. You see, because we know the Lord is our Savior, we have been given immortality by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to, what's the next word?
Keep.
Keep. Now, what does that word mean? To hold on to. Yeah, you're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose it. You know, we see people, do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope so. You hope so, yeah. You know, I try to be a good person. Really? You think that's going to get you there, being a good person? Isaiah said that all of our righteousnesses, that's the good things we do, are as filthy rags. So there's no way that your intentions and your goodness is going to get you there. It's just not going to do it. You say, well, how am I going to get there then? Well, you're going to get there by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is the one who came to abolish death. He is the one, verse 10, who has brought life to and immortality to light. He is the one who has given unto us that eternal life. So thank the Lord for our salvation, but it's nothing that I do. It's not a do religion. It's a done religion. Jesus has already done all the work. There's nothing you and I have to do. He's done it all. All right, read the rest of the verse. For I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, question, what did you, when you got saved, what did you commit unto the Lord? Your soul, exactly right. You committed to the Lord Jesus Christ your eternal soul. You said, Lord, I want to give you my heart, my being, my soul. I want you to have my soul, because if I'm going to take care of it, I'll mess it up. But you are not going to mess it up. Jesus said it this way: when you and I get saved, we are placed in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, you're in the Lord's hand, and then God puts his hand over top of it like this. And then he goes on to say, and nothing is going to get you out of God's hand. That means no sin, no devil, all right? No evil, no wickedness. Death is not going to get you out of his hand. Absolutely nothing will get you out of his hand. Isn't that a great promise? But it goes back to what he said here, that he will keep that which we have committed unto him. Now notice, committed unto him against that day. So another question, what is that day? All right, let's pray, and then we will try to answer that question. Father, thank you now for your eternal word, and I pray that you will bless your word this morning as we look at it. Thank you so much for the doctrinal lesson that you taught Timothy through the pen of Paul. And Father, I pray that you will help us now to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Father, just give us your mind this morning. We'll rejoice in your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If you stopped the Apostle Paul on the street, and if you asked him if he knew for sure where he was going to spend eternity, you would find a man with a great big smile on his face, and he would assuredly say to you, "Yes, I know exactly where I'm going to spend eternity." You, Paul would say, are looking at an individual who knows beyond any shadow of doubt that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Can you say that? Oh, I'm thankful that I can, based on the authority of the Word of God. But the question is, can you say that? Oh, I hope you can this morning. When this young man was baptized a moment ago, Pastor Aaron asked him, "Do you know for sure that Christ is your Savior?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "Then upon that authority, upon your statement, upon your testimony, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life." But that young man knew, he said, "Yes, I know." And I hope that from here on out until that day comes, I hope that that young man will keep that promise in his heart and realize that now that I'm saved for eternity. You say, "Well, what if he sins?" Not what if, when. It's not what if he sins, it's when he sins. Now, don't look at me like that. You're probably not going to get out of the service this morning before you trip and fall on your nose here. All right? The simple truth of the matter is we're sinners. You say, "But I thought once we got saved, if we sin again, we lose our..." No. You are committing unto the Lord your soul, and he will keep that soul. You don't have to worry anymore after you trust Christ as your Savior. Now listen very carefully here. The scriptures are clear that and you remember I've taught you through the years that God is a God of order. All right? Numbers in the Bible mean something. They're not just there as filler material. No, they mean something. And the Bible presents the matter of salvation this way, that he presents it in three aspects. There is the past, there is the present, and there is the future. Three aspects to your salvation and mine. You see, if you've read your Bible, you are familiar with some of the terms that are used in connection to salvation. And this is why some folks get tripped up over things, because they confuse the terms. They don't stop and think through what the Bible is saying. But there are certain terms that are used to describe our salvation. One of those is the term justified, justification. Now, this one is simple. Here's what it means. I mentioned to you a moment ago, if you will look, please, again at the past tense of this thing. He said, where did I read that? "For he hath saved us," in verse 9. He hath saved us. Now, I told you that I could stand right here, look back into my past, and tell you that on October 25th, 1970, I was saved. I went forward in a church service after hearing the gospel for four straight Sundays, and on the fifth stanza of Just As I Am, without one plea, I stepped out of the aisle, walked down to the front. The youth pastor met me. We knelt on the right-hand side of the church at the altar, and he took his Bible and showed me how I could trust Christ as my Savior, and I did. So I could stand right here today, and I can look back all those years ago and tell you that I was saved, past tense. Now, what happened to me when I was saved? All right, well, here's what happened. When I was saved, God justified me. I was justified, not by anything I did, but because of what He did on the cross of Calvary. You see, when Jesus was on that cross, God took Pastor Ray's sins, and He took my sins, and He took Pastor Holbrook's sins, and He took all of Pastor Young's sins, all of them. And then He took all of Pastor Campbell's, and He put those sins upon His Son to pay the penalty that we owe for our sin. And now when I trust the Lord Jesus and say to Him, Lord, I believe that when You went to that cross, You went to that cross for me. And I now accept You as my Savior. When I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am justified. Now, what does that mean? Well, justification is the act whereby God, listen carefully now, it is the act that is moved by faith. When I put faith in the promises of God, justification is the act whereby God declares a sinner to be righteous. Isn't that neat? He declares a sinner to be righteous. That's justified. Let me say it to you this way. From that moment on, when God Almighty looks at a repentant sinner, a believing sinner, from that point on, God sees that sinner just as if he had never sinned one time. Now, what does that cover? Well, that covers the penalty of sin. Look at your Bible again. Look at what he said there in verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I am saved, justified, not because of anything I did, but because I believed what Jesus did for me according to the Bible. And when I put faith in Christ, God declared me justified. Wow, that's cool, isn't it? And now the penalty of sin has been provided for by the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't want Jesus paying my penalty. You gonna pay it yourself? I'm gonna tell you, if you decide, well, I'm gonna pay it myself, you're gonna spend all of eternity in hell paying a debt that you will never get paid off. I mean, it's worse than Visa and MasterCard and the Diners Club and Discover and all the rest of them all put together. You know? I talked to a fellow one time and he said, I have $10,000 in debt on my Visa card. And that's back in the day when it was 21%. He said, you know, the way I got this figured out, I'll never get that paid for. I said, no, you won't. You'll be paying Visa for the rest of your life. You know, folks, that's a debt you can't get rid of. You say, well, I'm going to pay it myself. Good luck. Because you're going to end up in an eternal hell paying a penalty that you can never get paid off. There will never be a day when you will hear a knock at heaven's door and God opens the door and says, okay, you can come out now. You've paid the debt. No, no. You're there for all eternity paying that awful debt. So why not just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Just call upon Him. And when you call upon Him, He then says, justified, just as if you had never sinned even one time. Amen. That's awesome, isn't it? Amen. So that delivers me from the penalty of sin. Then you have a second aspect. That is sanctification. That is you have been saved, but you are being saved daily. You are being saved as you walk with God. You see, now that you have been justified, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. You can read this book and understand it. You can pray and talk to God. You can come to church and the Holy Spirit, who is the author of this book right here, the Holy Spirit of God teaches you the book. That's you growing as a Christian. So I have been saved. I am saved. I was saved. That's justification. I am being saved. That's sanctification. And then there is this sanctification thing, that delivers me from the power of sin. Paul said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You don't have to be led by the nose because of sin. You see, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so I have been saved. I am being saved. And then, thank God, there's coming a day, that day. That Paul referenced here. Look at the last part of the verse. He says in verse 12, that I know that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And that day that's coming is when you and I, who know Christ as our Savior, are going to see our Lord face to face. You know, right now we see Him through eyes of faith, don't we? We see Him through eyes of faith. But Paul said that one day our faith is going to be turned into sight. Exactly. So I will no longer just see Him by faith. I will see Him face to face. Face to face in all His glory. Man, what a day that's going to be. What a day. Can you imagine? I mean, we have prayed for all these years. We have witnessed for all these years. We have shared the gospel with others for all these years. We have memorized verses in the Bible. We have read the scriptures. We've read the Bible to our children. We've talked about Jesus over and over and over and over again. But there's coming a day, folks, when faith is going to be turned into sight. Man, I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to put their arms around the Savior, but I'm telling you, I'm just looking forward to that day when I can just hold Him in my arms and thank Him for what He's done for me. Thank God for our salvation, folks. Now, that one over there was justification. I was declared just in God's sight, just as if I had never even sinned one time. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I don't have to worry about them anymore. You say, well, I believe that. I just get saved and do what I want to do. No, you won't. No, you won't. If you believe that, you're going to want to live for the Lord. You see, when I got saved, the Bible, Paul said it this way. He said that I'm a new creation. I'm a new creature. Can I say to you that I've had all the liquor I want to drink this morning? That's right. I've smoked all the cigarettes I want to smoke this morning. I've said all the curse words that I want to say this morning. That's one. No. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't go out here and say, that preacher cussed. No, no, I'm joking. Making sure you're awake. You see, when you get justified over here, your wanter changes. When I got saved, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to go. I wanted to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If they had missions conference, I wanted to be there for that. I mean, your life changes. Mine did. Yours did. Dramatically, yours did. Whew. All right, you see what I'm saying? So that's where this part comes in. Man, I start learning my Bible and I start growing. I start developing as a Christian and get that maturity, you see? So I have been, I was justified, I am, I'm sanctified. But man, there's coming a day when I'll be glorified. You see, when God saved me, He did not save my body. My body, just like yours, is dying. Now, I hope it will take a little while. I'm not banking on checking out today, but one day, it'll give up. It'll quit. And when that day comes, the eternal part of me, the immortal part of me that was brought to life back there when I got justified, that part of me, my soul, is going to be with the Lord. And that's the third aspect of your salvation. I preached a sermon one time here years ago, and I called the sermon, "You are as saved as you can be, but you're not as saved as you're going to be." And all y'all were sitting here going, "What?" But I explained it to you. Right now, if you know Christ as your Savior, you are as saved as you can be. But wait a minute, you still have your old flesh. Wouldn't it have been nice if when we got saved, God took our flesh away? Oh, it would have been wonderful. But we have to suppress the flesh as we grow in Christ. This fellow was out west, and he was witnessing to some of the tribal people out in the reservations, and he was trying to explain this flesh and spirit thing, and one of the men said, "I think I figured this out, preacher." And he said, "What do you mean? You figured it out?" He said, "I think I got it." He said, "It's like I have two dogs in me. I have a good dog and a bad dog." And he said, "They're always fighting to see who is going to be in charge. They're always battling against one another." He said it's just all the time. They're just banging heads, going at it. And the preacher looked at him and said, well, I got a question for you then. Which dog wins? And that old Indian smiled and said, whichever one I say sick 'em to. That's true, isn't it? Isn't that true? Whichever one I say sick 'em to. So I'm as saved as I can be, but praise God, I'm not as saved as one day I'm going to be. This one over here delivered me from the penalty of sin. This one, this salvation aspect of it, delivers me from the power of sin. But there's coming a day, that day, when this one will deliver me from the presence of sin. Oh, what a day that will be. All right, everybody got that? All right, now, real quickly. Paul is trying to help Timothy. He's trying to encourage him. Folks, we think we got it rough today. Not near as rough as what they had it back in the first century. And Timothy was the pastor of the church in Ephesus, in Turkey. Huge, thriving city. All enveloped in idolatry. And Timothy was fighting all of that wickedness. And so Paul is trying to encourage him. And he is trying to just give him some advice and give him some counsel. And he says to him that day is coming. That day. Folks, we need to keep looking for that day. It's coming. You see, it's promised in the Bible. That day is coming. And we need to be ready for it. We should live our lives with our eyes on that day. Looking for and hastening the coming of our Savior. We should live our lives. We think that the Old Testament characters didn't know anything about that day. Yes, they did. They most certainly knew about that day. All the way back in Genesis 3, you will remember when Adam sinned, God promised the world that day was coming. All the way back then. He said that one day there would be, there would one come, a redeemer. And that redeemer was going to go and die on the cross. And Satan was going to crush his feet. But then turned right around and said that the Savior was going to crush the devil's head. Now, when's he going to do that? Well, you read your Bible, you'll find out it's over here in that day. That day. Here's the amazing thing, folks. From Adam in the Garden of Eden all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament till today, the Bible has told us everything that would happen right along the way. It told us about the Savior coming, where he would be born, when he would be born, where he would be born in Bethlehem, the circumstances around which he would be born. I mean, it told us everything. The fact that he would die on the cross. Even told us what he would say when he was on the cross. Even told us what he would say. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's in Psalm 22. Prophecy. Looking down the road. David looking down the road to Jesus. So you got all that history from Adam till today. But folks, realize that you've got a bunch of history, although it's not history yet, but it will be one day, that's coming. You got all this stuff that happened foretold in the Bible. Half of it has not even happened yet. The rapture of the church, that has not happened yet, but it's coming. The rapture of the church, that's when the Lord Jesus, who is now in heaven, steps out on the clouds. The trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. They got 6 feet further to go than the rest of us. No, they had to die, and we won't. That's why they get honors. That's why they get to go first. They had to die physically. But that rapture takes place, and we all go to be with the Lord in heaven. That's the next thing to happen. That hasn't happened yet, but it's all through that Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Nod your head. You with me on that? The tribulation period. Man, Revelation 6 through 18. We've been studying it here on Wednesday nights for the last year. It is all yet to come, but it's in the Bible. Oh, by the way, it's in the Old Testament Bible as well. We've looked at that. And then you've got the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period, 7 years after the rapture, and Jesus comes back with his saints. Man, we got some great days coming, folks. And Paul just summed it all up for Timothy. And he said, listen, Tim, don't get discouraged. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't throw in the towel and quit. Yes, it's tough. Yes, I know you're under a tremendous load. Yes, you got pressure from every angle coming at you. Yes, Timothy, it's not easy living for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy right here. But Timothy, you just hang on because that day is coming. And it's closer today than it was yesterday. I have said to you for years, and I believe it with all my heart, we are living on borrowed time. The Lord could come back at any moment. At any moment. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, the disciples were on the Mount of Olives with the Lord Jesus, his final act, if you will. And he ascended into heaven. He ascended from that mountain and went to heaven. And the Bible says in verse 10 that while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, he went up. He went up. And as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Everybody thinks that those are angels. I don't think they're angels. It says men. It says men. How about maybe Elijah and Moses? How about maybe them? It says two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? It's not gazing time. We're not to be standing around looking, you know, idly on a mountaintop somewhere, you know, humming, sitting in a yoga stance on a yoga mat, you know, humming, candles burning on either side of us. We're not supposed to be doing that. It's not gazing time, it's building time. It's working time. We got to get as many people into heaven as we can. And so he said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. How did he go? In the clouds. How's he coming back? Paul revealed later, in the clouds. Same manner. Same manner. Man, I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? So looking forward to that day. And so his story, history, his story history. Did you get that? His story is right here in this precious old book, the Bible. So folks, let's realize that that day is coming. Are you ready for that day? Huh? Are you ready for that day? If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you've never been justified by God Almighty, then you're not ready. And I hope you'll get ready this morning. Bow your heads with me, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. No one looking around for just a moment. I want to ask a couple of personal questions to you, just a couple of personal questions. And I want you to answer me as honestly as you can. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to call you out. Nobody's going to single you out. I would never do that. But I want you to let the message touch your heart this morning. You know, it's just all sounding brass and tinkling cymbal unless we apply the Word of God to our hearts. And I want to help you do that this morning. But I wonder how many will say here this morning, Pastor, I know for sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ as your personal Savior? You say, Preacher, I know in whom I have believed. There's no doubt about it. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know I'm saved. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right, now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. That looked like everybody, but I could have missed someone, so let me ask this question. Is there anyone here today who will say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be. I know I need to be. I've not been justified by God, but I need to be, and I know that. And I wish you'd pray for me, Preacher. I need the Lord. I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else, but I'll raise it right now and ask you to pray for me. And I promise you I will. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need the Lord. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. And I promise you that I will pray for you. Anybody like that? Pastor, pray for me. All right, how many Christians here will say, Preacher, God's speaking to my heart this morning. I haven't been living for the Lord like I should, but I know I need to live for Him. And God's speaking to my heart today. Would you lift your hand, Christian, and let me pray for you all over this building? Yes, God bless, God bless. Amen, thank you so much. Good. God bless all of you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Thank you. All right, Father in heaven, you know our needs today. Better than we know our needs, you know every fiber of our being. And so, Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts today. I pray that folks will realize they need the Lord. We talk about folks needing this and needing that, but our greatest need is to know for sure that we're saved and on our way to heaven. And so, Father, I pray that you will just help folks to understand these three aspects of our salvation. I have been, I am being, and I will be. Past, present, future. Justified, sanctified, glorified. And Father, I pray that you'll sink this into our hearts and just give us understanding of what we have heard today. I pray for all the hands that were raised here this morning. Father, speak to every heart. Draw us close to yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.